Remember, you got to count votes now.
House Finance, come to order.
Too much of a love fest.
We have members present. It's 2:39 p.m. and it's April 5th, 2012. We have members present: Representative Costello, Representative Edgman, Representative Dugan, Co-Chair Thomas. We have a jocular Representative Jewell. We have Representative Guttenberg, Representative T. Wilson, Representative Vera Guttenberg, Vice Chair Kirkloff, and Stoltz.
I was thinking we were all going to get an adjective.
I might get careless.
I'm just glad we did.
Yeah, I'd have to think about something other than darling to be alliterative to you. Delightful? No, that don't work. Since you're here, Representative Osterman, we'll take up your bill first.
The lovely Representative Osterman.
Come on up, Alan.
Make it quick.
It was seconds earlier, Paul.
Well, we can love or bill to death here.
You got no power by being majority leader, but you got power by being first.
Showing up half the game, right?
Welcome. We have a committee substitute before us, which I'll ask the vice chair to move, and our adjuncts committee staffer, Ms. Harrington, to discuss.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the CS for House Bill Number 290, Finance 27-LS1094-R, dated 4-3-2012.
Does everybody have that before? We had it before. I will object momentarily. Right now, I'll object, period. Ms. Harrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After our hearing on the 29th, the committee had raised, Erin Harrington for the record. Committee had raised a couple questions which we tried to address with Mr. Michel in your office, and hopefully they're successfully resolved here. There's basically three sets of changes, Mr. Chairman. First, Representative Edgman had raised a question about whether the use of the term community development might be confusing and might warrant a definition in the bill for the purposes of the bill. And since it is used regularly in other areas of statute and talking about different subject matter, we thought the cleanest way to address it might be to actually substitute that term community development with the term community of philanthropy to make it clear that this is its own kind of creature. And so you'll see a set of changes related to that on page 1 on lines 2, 6, and 8. Then on the second page, Representative Dugan and Representative Faircloth have both had some concerns about ranking being an issue. That the way that the bill was lined out, it might seem as if the order in which items were presented was a ranking. And so, again, to clarify that, we went ahead and changed the language so instead that in the course of evaluating proposals, these issues might be considered. There had been some discussion about whether or not the list was restrictive or inclusive, and we toyed around with changing the word shall at the end of page 2, line 11, with the word may, but ultimately, Mr. Chairman, we were unable to really do that well because it raised some constitutional issues that essentially it gave too much control out of the hands of the legislature and into a third party. And then finally, on page 3, lines 8 and 9, a third subsection was added in section 4433180, and that just clarifies that a community cannot use state funds as this match for the purposes of the project. So in other words, they can't come forward and get a CAPSIS, make a CAPSIS request, and then turn around and use that as their match. So Mr. Chairman, it's our hope that that addresses the concerns that the committee had raised.
That was a fine amendment.
Fine amendment.
That'd be a good policy for a capital budget.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to let you know, that's what's in the Harvard Grant Program. You cannot use general fund Harvard Grant CAPSIS money for Harvard Grant match.
I'll remove my objection. Is there any discussion or objection to CA? Hearing none, it's before us. Representative Osterman, you have the floor.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for taking it up again and looking at those changes that you guys had talked about last week.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have one fiscal note.
Thank you. No, I'm caught up with you, too.
The Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development As an allocation to community and regional affairs, the OMB component number is 2879. It's dated 3/29/2012. FY13 to FY18 has zero fiscal amount.
Okay. Madam Vice Chair, would you like to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee to CS for House Bill number 290, Finance, 27-LS1094-R, with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
I am just going to object only for the sake that I'm going to vote to move this out of committee and facilitate this process. I have some philosophical problems with going down this path, but I'm very laudatory of what you're trying to accomplish, but no diminution of what your efforts have been and your intentions, but how I may decide to vote on the floor. I don't want that to be a surprise to you, as we to our collegial respect.
Oh, I understand. Thank you.
That I'll remove my objection. The bill's moved out of committee. I'll take just a brief at ease to sign the reports. Finance, come back to order after the brief at ease. We now have before us CS for House Bill 365. We have a committee substitute for the Finance Committee, Mr. Michelle. Getting too fast here. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill number 365, Finance, 27-LS1439-B, dated 4/5/2012.
I'll object for explanation from Mr. Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Michelle, staff to House Finance. The CS before you, version B, some changes were made by the will of the committee from the last time that the committee met. In various places, the word marine was in front of aquatic evasive species. The word marine has been removed from the CS. An additional change to the CS before the committee, in the original version, the wording under F on page 2, the wording for F on the resources version has been replaced with the wording in F from the original version in A. And finally, section G was added at the very end of the bill on page 2, and that states, in this section, aquatic evasive species means an organ. Thank you. Organism introduced to a marine or freshwater ecosystem which is not native and to whose introduction cause or is likely to cause economic or environmental harm to human health.
And you worked in consult with the Department of Fish and Game on this?
To the chair, yes.
Okay. I'll remove my objection. Are there any objections maintained? Okay, then CS is back before us. We invite the sponsor and the representative from Fish and Game to all come up together for efficiency purposes. Yeah. And general comments, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the taking up the bill again. Just wanted to make sure that although this goes to allows a broader plan in other areas, that it's not meant to diminish the rapid response capability of the department in addressing a single infestation that occurs that hasn't spread, and that we can address that in a very quick manner. We have in 2002, and since we have an invasive species plan that is in place, but it has not allowed the department to aggressively target new invasive species, and that's the purpose of this bill. So as long as that's the understanding, I don't have a problem.
Do we have an amendment? Have you seen the amendment?
I did see the amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that as well.
And it's I just wanted the record, we were very concerned that we, in expanding the bill, which was the overwhelming will of the committee, that there was not a diminution of your ability to do that, and the fiscal note adjustment. I want some comments. I'm not predisposed to speak for you, Mr. Mulligan.
For the record, my name is Ben Mulligan, legislative liaison for the Department of Fish and Game. Chairman Stoltz, the changes made in the CS to include fresh water would not diminish what we plan on doing as far as planning. You'll see later when we discuss the fiscal note that we incorporate that planning to include freshwater, and you'll see those differences between the resources versions fiscal note and this one, reflecting our increased planning for those species, and it would not diminish our ability to do the marine work too.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move the. I want you to stay in place, both of you, and I'm going to move the amendment, and we'll continue. Did you have a question?
I do have a question for Fish and Game, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Mr. Mulligan, can you get me a letter from the Department of Fish and Game to address this concern? So subsection F now on page 2, it includes language close to what I had asked for, and I understand why it's written this way. I don't know how to ask this question without giving you an example. Lake Creek, for example, the lodge there was this man-made pond behind the lodge, and they put pike in there. And during high water one year, the pike made their way into Chilatna Lake and then into Lake Creek. And they've made the decision on Lake Creek, which is a salmon stream and a trout stream and a grayling stream, they've made the decision on Lake Creek not to use rotenone, not to engage in any sort of chemical pike eradication because it would cause more damage than it would do good, and so they've decided not to do that. I just want to make sure that by adding this into this bill, we're not compelling the Department of Fish and Game to engage in chemical eradication when they feel that it's not that the harm would outweigh the benefit.
Through the chair, handle it verbally, that's beyond the record as well.
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, in looking at the language that has to do with the methods in which we would use. It says may, so we're not forced into a chemical situation. And then down into section, the new section F, that says, that gives us direction to consider those non-invasive resident species. We're not going to be forced into just doing chemical. I'll give an example, which is Alexander Creek, which we are currently doing pike work on. We know that, you know, we have Chinook, coho, some resident fish species there that we'd hope to, after suppressing the pike population, to rebound. So we wouldn't want to, no, and we haven't. We've been working with some netting and doing some other targeted eradication work there.
Thank you. Through the chair.
I'm here.
And that's how I read the bill, too. But I just want to make sure that the Department of Fish and Game doesn't take this as some sort of directive that they start doing more of this stuff. So I would still appreciate a letter from the department saying that they wouldn't feel compelled to do this in cases where the harm would outweigh the good.
Through the chair, yes, we can provide that.
Okay, thank you.
And Sam Jewell?
I just think the language allows them to scale back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to make sure that it was on the record that F is relating to occurrence of freshwater aquatic invasive species, because in there we're talking about cause the least amount of harm to basically recreational, personal use, commercial, and other fisheries. And the purpose of this bill in Section D is to say that in a rapid response situation to a limited invasion, you can't ignore those other priorities for your management and go specifically to, and that is in, you know, can be in the marine, because F only applies to freshwater, so that we aren't limiting their ability to ignore those other management concerns and specifically target the invasive species. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that that was the intent of the CS.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Ben, a year or two ago, Fish and Game was trying to outlaw felt waders. Did they go through with that?
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, it is illegal now for felt-sold waders. And I imagine you know for the reasons that they've had migrating up as far as whirling disease out of Wyoming and some of those western states.
I was just wondering, because I only have four or five guys to use hip waders at home, but they were the ones complaining. So.
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, we have done outreach. You may see it in certain it was in Alaska Magazine this month. It's been in other publications. It's on our website, so we're making sure that people realize that.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and both of you stay in place here. I'm going to move amendment number one. It's by Stoltz, Costello, Newman, and Guttenberg, and there are others that wanted to join on, but we were all running around today.
My committee.
So I'd like to move that amendment. I'm just one objection.
Objection.
I just want on the record, Mr. Mulligan, if you can, I brought you into the discussion, so we did this correctly. Perhaps you can give us your department's position, or give us assurances that we're heading on the right path, and what this will allow you.
Mr. Chairman, speaking to the amendment, in the sections that have to do with deleting the language in limited or isolated geographic areas, after discussing those changes with our staff, in particular, one example comes into play is that oftentimes northern pike are not just in a limited area, maybe a drainage. Now, by eliminating that, when we look at our developing our plans, we can look at if we need to broaden the scope for a drainage, it'll allow us to do that. We would still be looking at occurrences that happen in particular areas. So it would be, for example, northern pike in a drainage we would plan for, but we still plan on having those cases where it's in maybe, let's say, just a lake. It's a geographically isolated area. We will still plan for that. So this just gives us more latitude in what we're going to plan for the future.
And just for the record of the discussions I had with Mr. Mulligan, and for the record, just for full disclosure, he was my staff for many years, and I've lost my fisheries biologist on here. That's why I'm not as active on fish issues.
Mr. Chairman,
it was our intent, the intent that I directed you was trying to give you more latitude. It was just there may be private foundation money, there's federal receipts and other sources that aren't immediately aware to us right now that we've become available, you'd be able to use that. Is that a correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay.
Would you like me to address the second part?
Yes, sir.
After the language in the amendment having to do with deletion of the limited or isolated geographic area, you'll see the section having to do with putting in provisions for our department and Department of Natural Resources, provisions that we would be held harmless if we have to act on an invasive occurrence at a mariculture site. After checking with Department of Law, just to double check that there would be no issue making those changes in order for us to go in and take care of an invasive at a mariculture site. And then...
Oh, no, please, proceed.
The last one is has to do with the deletion of the word resident, and that's in Section F of the bill. And after seeing the language in the CS, when you refer to as just a resident fish population, you would only be then considering residents, which would include grayling, trout, stuff like that. So eliminating that, we just have non-invasive fish populations, which would then also include the anadromous species of salmon, steelhead, and stuff like that to consider, too.
Okay. I'll remove my your objection. No. Do you maintain your objection? I got this backwards.
Yeah.
I don't do my name for nothing.
No, I don't.
Are there other objections maintained? Boy, I'm loopy today. I'm sorry. Hearing no other objections, the amendment is adopted. And any other general discussion, Representative Seaton, before?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I just want to, appreciate the committee's time and looking at this as a rapid response capability that we haven't had before.
We just didn't want to be the stickleback riding on a larger fish here, but it was our goal to try to accomplish what we have without damaging your bill. I hope we have accomplished that in your view.
Mr. Chairman, you have, like I say, as long as it's clear that they can respond in these isolated geographic areas, and I'm hearing that from Fish and Game, so I have no problems with the amendments.
Clear as mud.
The people of the drainages up in the Cook Inlet appreciate it. So to the fiscal notes, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chairman, we've been trying to frown upon indeterminate fiscal notes, and there's two updated ones. I'm wondering whether we want to zero them, understanding that the department will have to come back and ask for additional money if we want to actually implement a plan.
I would like to head into this season with them having the ability to react if there's a crisis with our that they're able to attend to. I can just as one person, I'd be happy to deal with that as a supplemental if we've averted a problem, if you have the latitude. But Representative Guttenberg?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just as the same way we fund wildfires, we don't fund them as if they're going to get the same number of fires one year to the next. We fund them as a sustaining level to have their infrastructure in place, and they come back to us depending upon how bad the fire year is. I think that's appropriate.
If Mr. Mulligan's shop there finds some efficiencies to deal with it, and they have ability to do a more aggressive program, I say Godspeed, and there's a lot of you'll be doing the state a lot of good.
If I may,
please.
This is the Chair, Representative Guttenberg. For example, when it came to the DVEX issue, we did use existing funds. Outreach to the federal government, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service gave us $90,000. So we tried every way to deal with that and get those funds available. But then you'll see later on in your process, we do have a $500,000 capital budget increment to take care of that. And the plan is to have that ready as of July 1st, and that'll be taken care of by winter.
We've got that guy from Chugiak that likes to blast things, too. Just kidding. He's a good guy.
Chairman, I'd like to direct the committee to the first fiscal note. It's OMB component number 2204. It affects the Department of Natural Resources. The allocation is the Northern Latitude Plant Material Center. It's dated 4/5/2012 and FY13, total operating cost $84,200. FY14 through FY18 is indeterminate. It does bring on one temporary worker. The next fiscal note, if I could direct the committee's attention to, is OMB component number 464. It affects Fish and Game. It's allocation to sports fisheries. It's dated 4/4/2012 and FY13 total operating increase $489,200. FY14, $341,600. It has one temporary person added in at both FY13 and FY14. It's 18 months that the department is actually working on implementing and putting together the plans that we're requesting them to do. The next fiscal note joins us from the Department of Health and Social Services. It's the allocation to epidemiology. It's OMB component number 296. FY13 through FY18 is zero. That fiscal note is dated 3/16/2012. The next fiscal note, OMB component number 2062, it affects the Department of Environmental Conservation. The allocation is to water quality. OMB component number is 2062. It's dated 3/16/2012. FY13 to FY18, zero fiscal note. The last fiscal note inside of our packet today affects the Department of Environmental Conservation. The allocation is to solid waste management. OMB component number 2344, dated 3/16/2012. FY13 to FY18, zero fiscal note. Five fiscal notes, Mr. Chairman.
And we added those items with a, what was our adjusted? We upwards 30,000 net.
Chairman Stoltz, looking at, the total for this fiscal note you see is $830,800 compared to our original one when we considered marine and freshwater was upwards of 1.2. What we did given the time frame was we relooked at how we could work this and kind of got our head
back again tomorrow and see if I
sorry. Yeah,
actually you saved more since the last time we talked, so we'll let you stop talking.
Chairman.
Representative Dugan.
I just asked one question about the fiscal note. That is to say the sport fisheries section of it. If we're initiating Thank you. I'm never going to get it.
You're going to put a flag on there.
Yeah, or something. Well, I could just be smarter, but I'm not. If we're initiating a program that's got, at least this part of the program has got a limited lifespan, can you tell me why we even have any indeterminate fiscal notes?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, the indeterminate fiscal notes in the outlying years represent the fact that to actually deal with an occurrence of an invasive species, there's just no way to tell how much that's going to cost. It could be anywhere from upwards. There's been some in other states that have cost millions of dollars, but then some that have only cost $100,000 to deal with. We just can't tell you what that would be at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the fiscal note we have is essentially for setting up a program to deal with this. It's not actually to deal with any occurrence.
Through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair, the fisheries bill here.
Morty. I am honored, Mr. Chair. I move from Committee CS for House Bill 365 Finance.
As amended?
Well, we haven't got there, but as amended. And
he was whispering, and I knew you were going to get it right anyway.
Yeah, version 2.7. Yes, now I'm shaking. version 2.7, LS1439/B/Bullard 4512, as amended with accompanying fiscal notes with individual recommendations from committee.
See, no objections. The bill.
See, got me all
Thank you. We'll take a about a 30-second at ease here. come back to order. Our next bill up is House Bill 312. But first, I'd like to make a motion on Amendment Number 1 on House Bill 365 that all members of the committee be shown as sponsors, so that listed by name. Is there any objection? So the clerk will note that. That will now proceed to House Bill 312. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move a CS for House Bill Number 312, Finance 27-LS1301/E44-2012 before the committee.
I'll object. Mr. Michel.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Michel, staff to House Finance. The CS before the committee is structurally different from the original bill. There were additional sections that have been rolled into one section, section 18.56.870. Some of the changes that were made to clean up the bill a little bit, instead of the word energy audit, the word inspection has been replaced energy audit. Instead of a home energy rater, the CS in front of you allows a mechanical contractor to do that estimate, and not just the home energy raters that do the home energy rebate inspections. In addition, any reference to loan fund was replaced with loan program. And finally, on page 3, it was added the general fund and may be, let's see, right here, I'm sorry, shall be deposited in the general fund and may be appropriated for the loan program under this section for any other purpose. And that change can be explained by the bill sponsor.
Fire away. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tammy Wilson, representative from District 11. HB 312.
My new number. Do you have any old material you want to sell? Go ahead.
HB 312 will create a low-interest loan program administered by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation for homeowners who use oil, coal, or wood to heat their homes so they can convert to a natural gas, propane, electric, biomass, or district heating appliance. Originally, HB 312 would only provide loans for the conversion to a natural gas-fired heating appliance. However, through the committee process, HB 312 was expanded to include propane, biomass, electric heat, and district heat. The committee substitute for HB 312 provided for a statewide approach for homeowners to convert to a more affordable and efficient heating method. Propane can be utilized in Alaska's rural communities. Biomass heat in the form of pellets is growing in popularity and could be implemented in the rural interior and southeast portions of the state. Electric heat has now become more affordable in Kodiak and the southeast regions of Alaska. Finally, district heat is available in communities that have combined heat and power plants, such as in Fairbanks' downtown coal plant, where the byproduct steam and hot water are pumped through a pipe system, providing affordable and emission-free heat to customers. We have worked carefully with AHFC, who is here with us today, who is in support of this bill, to create a statewide program offering loans up to $7,500 at a 1% interest rate for the term of 10 years. The loans would only cover the cost of the heating appliance and not the cost of materials and installation. Loans will be offered to qualified applicants who use either heating oil, coal, or wood as their primary heat source. The heat sources which the homeowner wishes to convert to must be readily available for use. HB 312 requires an inspection by either an AHFC-certified energy rater or inspector or a registered mechanical contractor who will confirm the heating method the homeowner uses and provide an explanation of the potential energy savings the homeowner could see if they converted to one of the options available through the program. HB 312 will have an additional benefit to communities like mine that have been designated by the EPA as an air quality problem. Currently, the Fairbanks North Star Borough has been designated by the EPA as a PM2.5 non-attainment area. And in that non-attainment area, the focus is on how we heat our residential homes. One of the questions I had earlier is, why doesn't the rebate program cover this? You can use the rebate program, but it's based on how far up on the star rating that you move up by changing your heating element. for a lot of people using changing their doors and their windows and insulation, they'll be able to recoup more of their costs than they normally can on an appliance. And this gives them one other option. And this is a loan program. This is not a giveaway. And it is for anybody in the state who has something better to be able to. And what I'm hoping is we get more options throughout the state. There'll be better ways to heat one's home. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And any questions? And I also, like I said, I'll ask a housing here if he has questions for them.
Representative Thomas, Co-Chair.
Thank you. It may be under the loan application from Alaska Housing, but what if I had a house and I sent it, sold it to Representative Dugan? Who assumes the loan? Is there a clause that I pay the loan off before I sell the house?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm going to use my call a friend at this time.
Yes or no?
Mr. Chair, through the chair, Representative Thomas, it would be my understanding that it would be the one who took the loan out should be the one to pay it back.
But when they do that, so I'm saying.
We'll make sure that that's right.
I didn't want to sit in back there by myself, so.
Understandable.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Anderson. I'm the weatherization officer for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. That would be the correct. The loan would be the responsibility of the primary recipient that did the work.
So then the loan would be on a lien onto the house. So, I mean, how do you know if I sold my house unless I told you?
It would, this, through the chair,
sure.
Representative Thomas, the loan would be tied to the house, so we would know. It would basically be a second.
Okay. Because I don't trust Representative Dugan. Even if he's buying my house.
It's like getting my house back.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Eric Kim Gettenberg.
Thank you. You know, I qualified with the Raider program for a new boiler, and it's a wonderful program. And here we're expanding that out for who can do the inspection to mechanical contractors. Are there enough mechanical contractors that are capable? Is there a certification program for them? I know there's a lot of efficiencies in having the contractor, same guy, come in and do all the work, but are there enough contractors capable of doing that now?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, we believe there is. We would put this policy through the regulation of the process that would qualify the inspectors, and we would follow the state system of a state mechanical administrator's license.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we have exist? I'm looking at the fiscal note and I see indeterminate versus zero. So, is there existing money somewhere for this program? And if there's not, then how will we? Are we just trying to set up the structure for it right now? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Sure, Representative Fairclough. You're correct. There is no money in this fund right now. This is to set up the mechanism so that funding could go to this program, but it would then have to be allocated by the legislature.
Commissioner Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since I asked questions about the Fisherman's Fund and several funds that have been in front of us, does 1% actually cover the costs of managing the program, or are we subsidizing the conversion because of the particulate matter and other issues that are specific to Fairbanks? I just want, if we're actively doing it, we just need to say it and understand that we're doing it if that's what we're doing.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, we believe at AHSC, depending on the level of participation, that 1% of whatever is allocated would cover our costs for outreach and internally to create the program and get everything set up.
So if Representative Wilson gets you 50 million, you can go for five. I'm not getting your hopes up.
Chairman Schultz, that is correct.
I was already there, sir.
Mr. Chairman, specific to the North Pole Fairbanks area, how many homes are there?
For what this bill would do, there's 21,000 approximately that would qualify as single-family residents, home-owned.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just was trying to get the magnitude of the effort, at least in the in this particular community. I know we have communities across Alaska that are struggling, but I just wanted to understand for the Fairbanks North Pole area specifically how many homeowners could benefit from a program like this. Thank you.
There's certainly no shortage of homes in the Matanuska and Susitna Valleys that don't have access to natural gas either. Representative Dugan.
Chairman, just so that I understand this.
There. Just so that I understand this, this is effectively would be a zero interest loan. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Dugan, that is essentially correct because the 1% interest would go back into the general fund, so yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Sort of talked about the fiscal note already. Are there any amendments? General discussion, will of the committee. I mean, just before we have a motion, if there's any general discussion. Representative Guttenberg?
Just an observation. In my own situation, if a gas line is built through Fairbanks and the local distribution company takes over local distribution for home heating, it's going to be years before it gets out to my house. I mean, a long time, 20, 30 years before it gets out there, unless something changes. So a fiscal note here would not be 21,000 times $7,500. It would be a long phase-in program.
Vice Chair?
Mr. Chairman, did we already cover the fiscal note?
Unless you'd like to delve further.
No.
I think it's pretty implicit in the way we discussed it.
Mr. Chairman, I move from committee to CS for House Bill number 312, Finance 27-LS1301/E, dated 4/4/2012, with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Before we go, Ms. Schubert, do you concur? Okay. Hearing no objection, the bill is moved out of committee. Oh, did we have any testimony on this? It was all questions only.
All questions.
Is there anybody that wishes to comment on this bill before it moves out of committee? I'll object to the motion. Is there anybody wishing to testify? Mr. Anderson, you're getting a little edgy there. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and formally close the public testimony. Sorry about that. I didn't see anybody that signed up, so thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Back to your... I'll remove my objection. Well, this has not been my finest day here. So with that, the bill is moved out of committee with individual recommendations and the undetermined fiscal note. So we did complete all three bills. It's good practice, and we have to get even a little faster later. So we are going to reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m., Mr. So those previously heard, we will... Well,
Mr. Chair.
Sure. We're scheduled at 9 a.m. Topics TBA.
Mr. Chair. We also have the subcommittee on Senate Bill 23 meeting from 8 to 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Why don't we move that to 9:30 then? We'll have the. Can you adjust that on our public record to 9:30?
I love you, man.
back at you, Mr. Co-Chair. With that, we're adjourned until 9:30.